From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Happy Valentine's Day, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. A lot of people are very busy today. Folks getting chocolates and candies, and Ben Dieter just got like a huge delivery. Somebody sent you what, flowers? That was very kind.
I'm not really a flower guy. I think it was just from our great sponsors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was nice. That was very kind.
No. Listen to this. So it's a power shop, Todd, and the name of the local flower shop is Pews.
Pews Flowers.
And it's as in like Pew the Skunk.
I love that.
Yeah, it's great marketing.
It's a great local flower shop as well in Memphis, Tennessee, Pews Flowers. So anyway, very nice. So many of you are getting your awesome little Valentine's gifts. Guys, don't forget. So if you have forgotten, you don't want to get the flowers at the gas station, right? Or the guy selling them, you know, in the middle of the medium. On the expressway. So you want to get something nice for the Valentine in your life.
Todd, roses are red.
I have seen this. And
can we do roses and red, violets are blue jokes for the rest of the show?
No, we can't.
Why?
Because this is important. The official President Trump put out an official White House Valentine's Day message. And it's a beautiful pink background with little red hearts.
Amazing.
And it's got the president's bobble. It's got the president's head, and it's got Border Czar Tom Homan's head, which is a little weird on a Valentine's Day card. But when you read the message, it all makes sense. And here is the official White House message. I've posted this on my official Instagram, Todd Starnes FNC. You can see it for yourself. Roses are red. Violets are blue. Come here illegally and we'll deport you. I love this.
It's fantastic. No, Trump and Tom look great on the front of a Valentine's card.
Yes. And also, I don't know if you've heard this news, but President Trump has now posted, you know, he's got the huge portrait of Ronald Reagan in the Oval Office. Now President Trump has a beautiful portrait of his official mugshot in the Oval Office at the White House.
Unbelievable. You remember when the president did this? I have one for you, Todd. Roses are red, violets are blue. And this one's coming from President Biden. You know he's still tweeting cards. He's also sharing his Valentine's message with the nation. Roses are red, violets are blue. I can't remember what I was going to tell you.
Or roses are red, violets are blue. Oops, I just had to poo-poo. So, because he's, you know, kind of that age.
Or roses are red, violets are blue. Where's your little kid? I want to smell them too.
Oh, that's weird. Okay.
Not me, Joe Biden.
No, of course, Joe Biden. So there you have it. Thank you, Donald Trump. I love this man. Can I just say that? I love Donald Trump. What a great sense of humor. And there's so much chaos going on in the country right now. And the great thing about it is, if you remember back in the day when Rush Limbaugh promoted Operation Chaos, calling on the Republicans to, you know, cause chaos with the Democrats, this is a great kind of chaos. And it is happening, and the Democrats deserve every morsel of angst and anger and frustration and terror that they are feeling right now. And I just love that. Now, I want to say something real quick out of the gate here about, and we're going to get to J.D. Vance in just a moment, who is just doing an amazing job for President Trump and the America First agenda. But yesterday, Linda McMahon, our education secretary, was on Capitol Hill for her hearing. And she said something that caused me alarm, and I wanted to share that with you. Again, the issue here is we must dismantle and destroy the Department of Education. That has to be done. So Linda McMahon was asked about all of this during her confirmation hearing, And she said that she would work to downsize the Department of Education. This is what she wants to do. She wants to downsize the Department of Education. She said defunding the Department of Education is not the goal. And she also stopped short of saying she would eliminate the Department of Education. Now, for the record, just so you know, Congress actually has the power and it is their responsibility to abolish the Department of Education. They created it. They have to abolish it. So this is a congressional issue. But it concerns me, though, that McMahon is basically saying we're not going to really do anything here. We're just going to maybe eliminate a few jobs, but we're not going to defund. That is not the goal. Ladies and gentlemen, her answer to those questions was absolutely unacceptable yesterday. President Trump wants the Department of Education abolished. He said it's a con, and it is. It's a great big con job. Nobody in this, none of the kids in this country can read at grade level. That's unacceptable. They are trying to intentionally dumb down our kids, and we cannot let that happen. Look, we've talked about this a lot. I didn't realize I was going to have to bring this up because I've been so proud of all the nominees. And they are doing exactly as President Trump has instructed them to do. The president has a very well thought out plan here. It has been in the works since Joe Biden put his hand on the Bible. So the president has a plan, and the only reason those people are being nominated for those cabinet positions is to implement his plan. His plan, not theirs, his. The Department of Education, though, this is so strategically important. This is the Department of Education is basically the Japanese fleet steaming towards Pearl Harbor. All right. They are the engine that's being used to drive all of the radical change in this country, from political change to cultural change to sex and gender. It's all coming out of our taxpayer funded schools. And if we do not, and hear me on this, ladies and gentlemen, if we do not, if President Trump and his administration fail to dismantle the Department of Education, and if they fail to return control of our taxpayer-funded schools back to the local communities, hear me on this, we will lose this nation. Period. It doesn't matter about anything else. You can deport everybody. You can stop putting the food coloring in the Fruit Loops. You can do all of that stuff. But if we do not get control of our schools back to the local communities, we're going to lose everything. Barack Hussein Obama, when he promised to fundamentally transform America, he knew that he could do it because the Democrats control the Department of Education. So I just want to caution everybody here. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer or a Doug Downer, but I'm just warning you that we've got to make sure that Trump follows through on this particular plan. I think this was the greatest missed opportunity of his first 4 years in office. And hear me on this. If Linda McMahon, who's a very nice, capable person, if Linda McMahon cannot follow the president's wishes, the president needs to find another nominee. It's that simple. Because ultimately, it's not about Linda McMahon, not about RFK Jr., not about J.D. Vance, not about Marco Rubio, Pam Bondi, not about any of those folks. This is about President Trump's agenda. And by the way, it's really not about President Trump. It's about his agenda. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So look, J.D. Vance is in Europe right now. He is speaking. He gave a speech at the Munich Security Conference in Munich, Germany. And normally these things are snooze fests. Nothing much really ever happens at these things. But let me tell you something. All you know what broke loose today, J.D. Vance took all these European leaders to the woodshed. Let me tell you what's going on here so you can understand, and I'm just cutting right to the chase today. All right, understand what's happening in Europe. So we have these globalists, and we know who they are, George Soros, all of those folks, Bill Gates, look, the Bushes, everybody, and you can call it the New World Order, you know, one world regime, whatever you want to call it, but they're globalists. They want to do away with all borders. And they want to have a one-world government. They want to have a one-world economy. They're very dangerous people. And there's been a lot of pushback, thanks in no small part, by the way, to, I would say, talk radio. That, because nobody else is really talking about the true intent of the globalists. But the globalists aren't the real enemy. They're one of the enemies, but there is an even greater concern, a greater enemy that we need to be aware of. And I'm going to get to that in about 30 seconds. So the globalists, they're coming in, and their message is actually being heard and embraced in places like Europe and really across Western Europe. And so what's happened is the globalists, they've done away with the borders, and they have had unfettered immigration. And who's been moving into town? Well, it's the Muslims by the tens of millions. And what's happening is it's been happening so fast, there's zero assimilation, which is why at this very moment, as you and I are talking above Westminster Cathedral, right in London, flying on top of Westminster Cathedral is a Palestinian flag. So the Muslims pretty much now control most of Western Europe. And that is only going to get worse. And the reason why is they tore down the borders and they allowed all the Muslims to come into these countries. Now, what have we, and you have to be careful on how you frame this argument, because they'll say, well, you know, not all Muslims are bad. No, that's that, and that's true. But their religion is, because at the heart of the religion is conquering. It is waging jihad. And you can, I mean, if you read the Quran, you know they lay out exactly what they want to do, and they want to conquer the world, world domination. So for going all the way back to, you know, after World War One, where countries had borders, immigration, if there was a lot of it, it was orderly, and people were able to live in some semblance of peace. Then World War Two comes along, and the Germans and all that, and then once that war is waged, then we get back to the way things were prior to the war. But you still had this measured immigration. But over the past, 20, 25 years, you have had unfettered immigration. I want to explain, and you folks in Gainesville, Georgia, that listen to us on WDUN, you're getting a little taste of this with the massive numbers of Hispanics that are moving into your community, and many of those folks are, in fact, illegal. What happens is when you have a massive number of people, and I want to try to get it because people are going to say, Stearns, you're xenophobic, you're Islamophobic. No, I'm not. So let me back this up for a moment. All right, let's say you've got a Catholic community, all right? And this Catholic town, we'll call it Popeville. And so you've got Popeville, and they've got these big walls around Popeville, like the Vatican. And so all of a sudden, there are orders coming down, and Popeville has to accept 30, 40,000 Southern Baptists. Well, if you allow 30 or 40,000 Southern Baptists into your Catholic town of about 20,000 people, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get chaos. Your culture is going to come under attack. And your culture is going to change. And why is your culture going to change? Because your population of Catholics has literally been overrun by the Baptist. And then every liquor store is going to have to move to another county. That's what would happen. So it's nothing against, you know, it's nothing against the Catholics or Baptists or Hispanics or Muslims. This is just the reality of it, which is why one of the number one baby names in the UK is Muhammad. So you've got the Christian population. And by the way, so they've been secularized over the years. So the churches have been pretty much emptied. Now mosques are coming in, and the Muslims are having babies left and right. Christians are not giving birth. And so soon, very soon, the Muslims will eventually take over Western Europe. And it's starting to happen here in this country. And if you want to know what it's like to live in a majority Muslim country, then I would encourage you to go and take a vacation, take a spa day in Tehran, or go to Saudi Arabia, go to Iraq, go to, I don't know, Gaza, and you'll get a pretty good flavor, a pretty good taste of what that life will look like, where Christians are not treated very kindly. So you say, well, what does this have to do with J.D.? I'm getting to that. Just bear with me for a moment. So here's where we are, and we're going to play some of this audio from J.D. Vance's speech, because this very well could be one of the most important speeches of the Trump administration thus far. Because J.D. Vance is warning Western Europe what's about to happen to them. You see, the globalists thought that everybody was just going to assimilate. They were not thinking. They clearly, most of the globalists are not religious people. They're not students of religion. And they probably have no idea of what history has taught us about the Islamists when they come in. And they come in to conquer. And so now the globalists are in a pickle, because the Islamists, they don't like the globalists. And the globalists, now they're irrelevant across much of Western Europe, because they're going to be losing control. They're going to be losing power. And this is why you're starting to see the protests, the marches in the streets. People, what is it, a couple of days ago, there was some guy that got stabbed because he burned a Quran. It's going to get ugly over there. And the whole point of this is we don't want it to get ugly over here. Real quick, before we have to go to a break, I've got a lot to say about this, because we have got to pay attention to what's happening in Western Europe right now. Civilization is literally under attack here. It's under attack. And my concern is this. It's going to come to a point where the Europeans are once again going to have to call on America to save them from their invaders. And the question is, should we do it for a third time? All right, we do have to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is Open Line Friday. Again, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was, we needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed only $59.98. King size sheets $69.98. And they sell out fast every year. So you gotta get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 six-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first-ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. I know I went long. I just had a lot to say. So look, here's the deal. We're gonna circle back. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to play some audio from J.D. Vance's message that he delivered at the Munich conference. We're gonna get to your calls as well. Joe from LJ on our line. So hang tight, Joe. It's Open Line Friday. And by the way, if you want to give your Valentine a shout-out, we're going to let you do that today. So give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppable, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
And happy Valentine's Day, America. This is Todd Starnes. Thank you for hanging out with us today. And if you'd love to phone in and give your precious Valentine a shout out, we're certainly going to welcome you to do that. And by the way, it is Open Line Friday as well. So whatever you want to talk about, whether it is good, bad, what, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phone lines. Our good buddy Joe from Ella J, Georgia, one of our faithful listeners. Hi, Joe. What's going on?
Todd, you got an incredibly great program. Steve Moore, he's an economic advisor to Trump. He's a good friend of mine for 25 years. He called me yesterday and said, after he got off Fox News, and said, Joe, Trump is doing just great. Things were just fantastic. Then John Gizzi, who's an old friend of mine, called me yesterday. And Todd, he thanks the world of you. He's on Newsmax, and I know you know him, but he told me, he said, Joe, Todd is great. And we talked about, you know, that I call into your show. Anyway, John had a lot of great things to say about you, and I just wanted to let you know that you probably already know that, but he's very high on you. And Todd, I feel great about the future with Trump and Musk cutting waste. And, of course, J.D. Vance, I know you're going to play him in a few minutes, and he's great too. But I've never felt better about the future of the country for my three children and seven grandchildren, and your show is certainly a great thing for all the taxpayers. I appreciate all you do, Todd. Keep up the great work.
Joe, thank you for those kind words. And I am very bullish about the future. I know there are some concerns about inflation, but the reality is it's going to take a little bit of time to get the economy under control, to get inflation under control. And when that happens, we're going to be living large, and we're all going to be able to go out there and buy a dozen eggs again.
Todd, just keep up the great work.
All right.
You're a great friend of the taxpayer.
Thank you, Joe. All right, our good buddy Joe from LLJ. Been with me since the Fox days, back when I was doing the radio show at Fox News. So, look, I want to play this audio. This is J.D. Vance, and he was discussing, again, the dangers of what's happening there with this unfettered immigration and the attacks on free speech and religious liberty. Cut number six, please.
And unfortunately, when I look at Europe today, it's sometimes not so clear what happened to some of the Cold War's winners. I look to Brussels, where EU commissars warn citizens that they intend to shut down social media during times of civil unrest the moment they spot what they've judged to be, quote, hateful content. Or to this very country, where police have carried out raids against citizens suspected of posting anti-feminist comments online as part of, quote, combating misogyny on the internet, a day of action. I look to Sweden, where 2 weeks ago the government convicted a Christian activist for participating in Quran burnings that resulted in his friend's murder. And as the judge in his case chillingly noted, Sweden's laws to supposedly protect free expression do not, in fact, grant, and I'm quoting, a free pass to do or say anything without risking offending the group that holds that belief. And perhaps most concerningly, I look to our very dear friends, the United Kingdom, where the backslide away from conscience rights has placed the basic liberties of religious Britons in particular in the crosshairs. A little over 2 years ago, the British government charged Adam Smith Connor, a 51-year-old physiotherapist and an army veteran, with the heinous crime of standing 50 meters from an abortion clinic and silently praying for 3 minutes. not obstructing anyone, not interacting with anyone, just silently praying on his own. And after British law enforcement spotted him and demanded to know what he was praying for, Adam replied simply, it was on behalf of the unborn son he and his former girlfriend had aborted years before. Now, the officers were not moved. Adam was found guilty of breaking the government's new buffer zones law, which criminalizes silent prayer and other actions that could influence a person's decision within 200 meters of an abortion facility. He was sentenced to pay thousands of pounds in legal costs to the prosecution. Now, I wish I could say that this was a fluke, a one-off crazy example of a badly written law being enacted against a single person. But no, this last October, just a few months ago, the Scottish government began distributing letters to citizens whose houses lay within so-called safe access zones, warning them that even private prayer within their own homes may amount to breaking the law. Naturally, the government urged readers to report any fellow citizens suspected guilty of thought crime. In Britain and across Europe, free speech, I fear, is in retreat.
So that's just a portion of this come to Jesus moment that J.D. Vance had with the European leaders. And the whole point of this is not to embarrass the European leaders, is to call them out. And the hope is that a come to Jesus moment will actually make Europe come back to Jesus. That's the whole point of this. Otherwise, it's going to be lost. But may I just say something here? Did you notice, did anything that J.D. Vance did any of that actually sound familiar? Because a lot of that was actually happening in the United States, and it's been happening in the United States all the way back to the Obama administration. And most recently here in America, where if you were praying on a sidewalk, a public sidewalk outside an abortion clinic, you too could go to jail. So a lot of the things that were happening in Europe were actually happening in the United States as well. But the good news here is that Donald J. Trump got reelected. And as a result of that, we were able to stop the slippery slope. We have stopped the slide. We're still on the slope, ladies and gentlemen, which is why we've got to abolish the Department of Education. But thank goodness for last November. And I truly believe it was a God-ordained moment that God is giving our country a chance to get it right. Because if America had fallen, then the entire world would fall. Hear me on that. 901-260-5926 on this open line Friday. That's 901-260-5926. Dieter sent me this crazy story from Jefferson County, Colorado. And it goes back to the heart of the taxpayer-funded education system and how evil it is. Now, I want to say something here for a moment. There are a lot of predators out there, and it seems as though, for example, we've saw what happened with the Boy Scouts. We're seeing what's happening in the churches. And if you are a predator and you've harmed a child, then you should be executed. That's my personal belief. If you harm a child, you get the death penalty, and it should happen immediately. Well, what's happening in our public schools, I believe, pales in comparison. When you look at what happens in our public schools, this is the greater threat to the nation. And the media is turning a blind eye to this. By and large, they're turning a blind eye to this. And they're not covering a lot of the abuse and the predatory behavior that's happening on these public school campuses. And I want to bring your attention to Jefferson County, Colorado, Columbine High School. And the school district is in the throes of a massive cover-up and scandal. Folks, you're not going to believe this. A teacher, a female teacher, was having an inappropriate relationship with a 17-year-old female. So it was a lesbian relationship. And investigators determined that the social studies teacher was grooming the 17-year-old girl. Now, according to their investigation, the teacher had convinced the child to write on a form, an official document, that she was actually homeless and therefore would be able to move in with the teacher. Now, the counselors at the school, so multiple teachers, multiple staff members at the school were all involved in this. And the parents, this 17-year-old girl's parents, were kept completely out of the loop. Heather McCormick, reading from CBS News, Heather McCormick, friends with the girl's mom, says there were red flags long before the district hired investigators. But not a single person stood up and said something doesn't seem right, and nobody reached out to the parents. School emails obtained through an open records request show counselors intentionally kept the parents in the dark while they helped their daughter declare herself homeless so she could move in with a teacher. Quote, I think it's really scary that we can take teenagers or children of any age and say whatever you want to say is true, and we're not going to investigate it. We're not going to take big steps to declare you homeless without notifying your family. By the way, not only did the counselors and the teacher know about this, so did the principal of the school, according to the reporting of CBS News. The parents only found out about it when the mom was cleaning her daughter's room and she stumbled upon the homeless document, along with a letter describing her daughter kissing the teacher. She then uncovered thousands of calls and text messages between the pair. She told investigators that she sent the teacher a message warning her to stop contacting her daughter and then showed the principal all the calls and the text messages, and the mom says the principal dismissed them. And he told the mom, quote, this teacher takes interest in helping kids navigate their sexuality. Yeah, navigating directly to her bedroom. Unbelievable. So the school district is now apologizing, but in the apology, the superintendent of schools is actually blaming parents and saying the bigger threat is not the predatory school teachers, but the bigger threat are mom and dad. Cut number three.
I just want to highlight the need to train children, and I want to broaden it a little bit more because my experience as a CASA is not just sexual abuse. In fact, most of it's other kind of abuse. And I'll just remember one of my little Emma, whose parents mistreated her so bad that she ended up in Children's Hospital with organ failure. And some of the therapy she got early on, she said to me one day, she said, you know, my mom didn't treat me right. She shouldn't have done that. And she didn't know. She was starved, essentially. And so I would want our training for children to be broader than just don't touch these body parts or hear the proper terms. But what's appropriate, even for parents?
All right. Parents aren't the problem here, folks. This kind of thinking is, because, and you've all seen the videos on TikTok and social media of the teachers, and what have the teachers been telling them? Intentionally targeting these kids who think they may identify as whatever on the alphabet spectrum. And what do they tell the kids? If your family disapproves of your lifestyle choices, we will be your family. I will be your parent. I will be mommy. I will be daddy. These are teachers using their platforms in their classrooms to groom these kids. And it just seems to me not only should that teacher be in jail, but so should the counselors and any other staff members, the principal, anybody who helped cover this up needs to at the very least be fired. And if they broke the law, they need to be in jail. But I'm wondering, is this kind of stuff happening in other schools around the country? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Gaines Super Flings are here to take your laundry to the next level.
Talking about Gaines Super Flings. Super size laundry packs. These things are huge. Super fresh, super clean. Gaines Super Flings.
Gaines Super Flings laundry packs have 4 times the oxy cleaning power and 3 times the Febreze freshness versus Gaines original liquid.
Super fresh, super clean. Gaines Super Flings.
Gaines Super Flings. For next level laundry.
right, guys. We got a problem in my neighborhood. And Ben Dieter, I know you were talking about this on KWAM, our great affiliate of Memphis. Yeah, I live in Germantown. I think it's a pretty conservative town, but we elect liberals. I don't know why we do that. But anyway, we have a rule. You're only allowed to keep your holiday decorations up for a certain amount of time. You can set them up like 45 days before the holiday, and you got to take them down no later than 30 days after the holiday.
Who writes these laws?
I don't know. Well, I'm telling you.
Are people bored?
We got liberals. So there's a woman in Germantown, and she's a leftist, and she has a skeleton fetish. So she decorates. She has these massive decorations in her front yard, and they're all skeleton themed. And
I hate skeletons.
She decorates for Christmas. She's got the skeletons up, and Easter and St. Patrick's Day, and she's a big Pride Month gal. This one. So I'm just saying, she celebrates Pride Month.
Oh yeah, she puts like rainbow stuff on the skeletons.
Yeah. And so anyway, now she's in trouble because the city told her she's in violation of their ordinances, and I guess she's been fined, and so now she's filed a federal lawsuit, and she's claiming that her First and Fourth Amendment rights have been violated, and that she has every right to put up these awful decorations in her front yard.
But you have to give her credit. She, for Valentine's Day, I think she put a bow from a Cupid in the skeleton's arm. For St. Patrick's Day, I've seen the decor. She puts the Irish dress on the skeleton. So she's keeping it at least updated, but the skeletons remain the same.
We have a call. Let's go to the Lake of Fire. Satan on the line. I love the decorations. They're beautiful. Thank you, Satan. Appreciate the call. So anyway, look, do you guys have a problem? I mean, I wonder if it's a stretch that you've got to have an ordinance dictating how long you can keep your holiday decorations up. Why is that the city's business?
I would say it's a bridge too far if they came inside, because I know a lot of people still have their Christmas trees up. It's very common. You set up the fern, the Christmas tree, and a lot of people just update the ornaments. So you put eggs on the Christmas tree. So that's effectively what she's doing, but outside.
And again, I mean, if it's an HOA, but I don't think it is. And I would never move. People said, why don't you move into an HOA? Because those are communist. If you live in an HOA, then you embrace communism. Mm-hmm. And it's. I mean, these people are terrible. Take down your flag. Your grass is a quarter inch too high. Like, okay, chill out, pal. But here's the deal. The broader question, and maybe the courts can help us out here, do you have a constitutional right to be an inconsiderate jerk to your neighbors? I think that's maybe the broader question here.
Well, she's now suing the city.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Federal lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
But look, the lady, I mean, she does not have good curb appeal. And I suspect it's going to lower property values.
Mm-hmm.
And Germantown is... It's a very wealthy neighborhood, so I'm curious to see how this is all going to play out. But I'm wondering, because, you know, some people will put up, like, massive, huge, you know, blank Joe Biden, so, and, you know, all that kind of stuff in the front yard. And, you know, people say, well, they've got a constitutional right. You know, if they want to have a junkyard in their front yard, it's their property. They can do whatever they want to do.
She says she is actually going to, for on President's Day on Monday, dress up the skeleton like a founding father and give him a copy of the Constitution. She said, quote, maybe a visual display will make it finally sink in when they ask me to tear it down.
Something tells me she doesn't have a Valentine. Maybe she can ask the skeleton out. All right, folks, do you have a problem with this? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, listen up. This could be the result of asbestos exposure, and you could be entitled to significant compensation. Call us at 800-260-8700. That's 800-260-8700. To find out if you qualify for a cash settlement, we have legal professionals standing by right now to take your call, and they'll tell you if you qualify. The call is free. The consultation is free, and you'll speak with a live agent right now. So, if you or someone you know were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, call right now to find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-260-8700. That's 800-260-8700 to see how much money you could potentially get. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, happy Valentine's Day, America. Happy Singles Awareness Day to the rest of you. I hope you're doing well today. If you don't have restaurant reservations, you may be in a little trouble. So, welcome, everybody. We'll talk more about that in just a few moments. 901-260-5926. That is our telephone number. And today is Open Line Friday as well. That's 901-260-5926. You know, Dylan, I just remember this is your first Valentine's Day as a married man. Do you have things planned? Are you ready to go?
I'm ready. Yeah.
I know the missus may be listening to the show, but, you know, do you have reservations, all of that?
I didn't keep it a surprise this year just because of the place they were going to. So, yeah, I do have reservations, but for tomorrow. So.
Oh, so you're doing it the day after.
Yeah, so we're doing gifts today, dinner tomorrow.
Oh, that's nice.
It's going to be big.
All right. And Ben Dieter, I have to imagine you've been overwhelmed with suitors.
I've been fending off lovers across the nation, all 50 states. It's like a smorgasbord. I pull up to the Golden what is it, the Golden Corral?
Yeah, a little TMI.
Oh, sorry.
TMI.
What about you, Mr. Starnes?
I'm a reporter.
Where is Mrs. Starnes?
I'm a reporter.
Hello?
That's her.
That's not Mrs. Starnes. What? Well, I ask all these guys because there's a big controversy afoot. Jeez. And the controversy involves his work spouses. Now, do you folks out there, do you have a work spouse? Are you familiar with this? Because some people, they call him a work wife. So you've got your regular wife at home, but you've got another wife at work, and that's your work wife. Does Cassie count as a work wife for anybody? Is she the...
Yeah, I'm giving her flowers.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah.
That's very thoughtful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, according to the New York Post, there is a brand new line of Valentine's Day cards. And these Valentine's Day cards are creating some controversy on social media and a heated debate about the appropriateness of workplace relationships. There is a viral TikTok video, and there's a woman shopping for Valentine's cards, and she expresses shock when she finds cards that are addressed to the work wife or the work husband. Mm. You know, they have – where was I at? I was at the Hallmark store, and I was stunned by the various cards you could get now. You know, it used to be like, happy birthday, mom, dad, brother, sis, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa. And now it's just like everybody.
Oh, yeah. No, they have them for your exes. They have Valentine's cards for the divorced spouse. They have Valentine for your in-laws, the in-laws of your ex-wife or ex-husband. They make them for every. I mean, this is a billion-dollar business for Hallmark, Todd.
Well, they've got – so apparently the term is used for a coworker, and if you have a very close, supportive working relationship with. And anyway, here's the card. One of the card reads, "For my work wife, on Valentine's Day, I finally found someone just as inappropriate as me."
Oh.
And I'm, you know, if I'm the real wife with the ring on the finger back home, I'm going to be greeting the husband with a cast iron skillet at the front door.
I think you're only allowed to have a work wife or a work husband if you're not married or dating.
But a lot of times
it's like the opposite.
Mm. Someone said, why not just make an affair partner card?
Exactly.
To my lover, my office lover. Someone said HR is going to be busy this month. So I'm wondering, do those cards cross the line?
I feel like you'd have to ask the ladies. I feel like, Dylan, think about this. If you got home and your wife is going through your book bag or your stuff and you have a card that says, to my work husband, I think the wife is going to have a big issue with it. Maybe I'm wrong. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah,
it's like a form of cheating.
Cheating?
You're calling someone else like a term that's like, husband and a wife.
Mm-hmm.
That's
stopping short of basically giving them a ring.
Yeah.
So even if it's done in jest or humor, it's still, you would still think it would be cheating.
Yeah. I just think it's inappropriate, at least.
I mean, could you imagine getting back home after a long day at the office and, you know, your wife brings you over, a cup of hot cocoa and she forgets the marshmallows and the husband says, you know, my work wife wouldn't have forgot the marshmallows.
Oh, yeah.
I could see that going in a very bad way.
Yeah, there won't be another Valentine's for them.
Yeah, I think this is a ladies. I think you're right. It's a question for the ladies of the Todd Stearns Listening Show audience, and we do have the most beautiful women in America listening to this radio program. Allie Beth Stuckey, who is a conservative Christian commentator, and I think she's a Gen Zer?
Maybe? Millennial.
Millennial, okay, millennial. You know, I met her mom. Her mom is a big fan of the show, and I met her mom years before Allie Beth became Allie Beth. So, interesting. So anyway, Allie Beth Stuckey is enraged over this. I mean enraged. She says, your spouse doesn't have a playful work wife or work husband. They're just cheating on you. Emotionally and otherwise. So it's an emotional. So you may not, there may not be some sort of a physical thing going on, but it's all about the emotion. Former athlete and conservative commentator TJ Moe writing this, the sanctity of marriage matters. Mocking it with the idea of a work wife is foolishly self-sabotaging. If you have a shred of common sense, you will avoid this nonsense. Is that, it's kind of like ha-ha. It seems to be ha-ha, but I guess if you're a wife, you know, you're going to take that kind of seriously.
Well, I guess if one in two marriages in this country didn't end in divorce, it would be funny. Like, it would be ha-ha. But they say one in two marriages end in divorce papers.
A psychotherapist by the name of Dr. Ludwig. Of course he's a psychotherapist. All the psychotherapists are coming from the Ludwigs.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Robbie Ludwig, a psychotherapist. He works with married couples. Oh, it's a chick. It's Robbie with an I.
Oh.
It's all. We need to have a whole show on how the parents of millennials screwed up names. Come on, people. Anyway, she thought the cards were inappropriate in the workplace and could invite a misunderstanding or could be considered sexual harassment. So,
We're too far.
Mm. She said those. Oh my! I forgot to turn off my phone.
It's all those ladies, Todd, wanting to get in on the action. No, he's on air.
So anyway, for those already in relationships, Professor Ludwig says the biggest issue was that husband and wife suggest an intimate, unique relationship. And to call someone else your spouse, even lightheartedly, could invite misunderstanding and threaten your primary relationship. It's playing with fire.
I agree.
Wow.
Good psychotherapist there.
So if the missus came up to you one day and said, oh, yeah, my work husband gave me this.
Yeah.
Yeah, work husband's going to have a black eye.
Yeah, or I'd be really insecure.
Broken nose.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, do you find this to be problematic? I mean, this is a big story. I mean, The CEO of Exclusive Matchmaking called the cards a slippery slope into emotional affair territory. I think they're treacherous. That's what Susan Trombetti said. I see nobody. So who's the guy at Hallmark that came up with this idea?
He's in so much trouble.
Oh, now here's the thing. They're calling it a form of micro cheating.
Oh, so what's macro cheating? Do we want to know?
I think that takes place at the office Christmas party. So there you go. 901-260-5926. Do you find work wives and work husbands inappropriate? Give us a call, 901-260-5926. By the way, some exciting news. You know, a lot of people do creative things for Valentine's Day. And one of them is the zoo. And this is not just one zoo. This is zoos all over the nation. The Bronx Zoo, a great zoo, by the way, up in New York City. The Bronx Zoo is going to let you name a cockroach.
Mm.
It's their annual Name a Cockroach campaign. And they will let you, and this, I'm going to read the advertisement here. Valentine's Day is creeping up once again. Only one gift has six legs and an irresistible aura of romance.
Ooh.
That's, I like that, aura. That's right. Name a Bronx Zoo Madagascar hissing cockroach after your special someone and spell out your love for them in big, bold bug letters. You know, those are honking big cockroaches, too.
Mm-hmm.
$15.
So you just name it? Do they keep it, or do they ship the cockroach to the person you want to send it to?
They name the cockroach, and you get a digital certificate, and it doesn't necessarily have to be an ex, right?
Okay.
So you could. So if there's someone
so
you love,
mother-in-law.
Could be a mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the work wife. So there you go. And then the person that you're gifting the cockroach to, they get a little letter in the mail letting them know that, you know, a Madagascar hissing cockroach has been named in your honor.
Do you know what some people do, Todd?
Squash the cockroaches.
No. You know how you can actually name a star in the galaxy after someone? You can actually buy a star. Some people, I saw a story where they pay a pretty penny, but you can name an actual star after your lover, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your wife, your husband. Uh-oh. Name a star after them.
Now, are you familiar with Schnecksville, Pennsylvania? Schnecksville.
Shanksville, Pennsylvania, yes.
No, this is Schnecksville.
Okay.
The Lehigh Valley Zoo, they're hosting a catch and release event. So they will catch a fish and they'll feed it to a penguin. And you can actually name that after your ex. So this is primarily if you've broken up. Or, get this, zoo guests can also name a fish after their ex or bad boss. Or, let's say you've got a neighbor that puts up skeletons in their front yard year-round.
Mm.
You can name it after that person, too.
Can I get the fish for you, Todd?
I'm good.
I'd eat the fish. I'd save it for myself.
Batter it. Eat it. Get some tartar sauce. Let's go to Suzanne in North Carolina. Hi, Suzanne. What do you make of these work wives?
I think it's a bad idea. And I was just going to mention, a couple of years ago, Shannon Bream was on Kilmeade's radio show. And they were just kind of going back and forth. And she referred to herself as his work wife. And Kilmeade did not respond. I don't think he was crazy about that, but... and I didn't think it was a good idea.
So there's a line that has to be drawn, Suzanne. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
So
I think it's a really bad idea. I think it is to the slippery slope and all of that. And what about his wife? I mean, what if she's listening to the show? Like, my claws would be out.
I was about to say, I mean, unless you're a Mormon, and then, you know, you can have a couple, I guess, but, you know. That just gets pricey at Valentine's Day.
Yeah, but Kilmeade did not respond. He did not respond.
Wow. Well, Shannon's a good friend of mine. I'm going to have to send her a text. I'm like, hey, what's this? I hear you and Kilmeade.
That's funny. I hope you have a happy Valentine's Day.
Well, you too. And, you too, Suzanne.
And I'm going to order some of the Dunstall's chocolates.
Ooh.
And hope you have a great weekend as well, and I thank you.
Well, Suzanne, let me tell you something. You are going to love Dinstals, and they're just some of the kindest people around. And I know you're in North Carolina, so you're going to get the online, or they'll order it for you. But if you're ever in Memphis, you got to drop by, and I trust me, you'll be leaving with a smile on your face.
Yes, I know I will.
All right, Suzanne.
Have a wonderful weekend.
All right, happy Valentine's Day. Let's go to Carolyn in Gainesville, Georgia. All right, what say you, Carolyn?
I would just like to comment on the workplace wife or husband. If it was me and I had a husband that come home and told me that, I'd say, there's the door. See you in divorce court, sucker.
Wow. Good for you, Carolyn. See you in divorce court, sucker.
Absolutely. Happy Valentine's Day.
Wow. Woo! Happy Valentine's Day, Carolyn. All right. We got to take a quick break here. Carolyn said sucker.
We think.
Don't panic, America. 901-260-5926. Ladies, what would you do if you found out your husband had a work wife?
Claws out.
This is the Todd Stern Show.
Your head on my shoulder.
You know, I want to warn you guys, if some of the most beautiful women, gracious, kind-hearted women in the world are Southern women, but you don't want to mess with them, guys, because they will cut you, and they'll do it with a smile on their face. But you don't, you know, you want to, they're
like
the best.
Caroline.
Caroline means, she means business.
Mm-hmm.
She means business. And Suzanne, too. I don't blame them.
And they're the sweetest people ever.
Oh, yes. But
they will see you in divorce court.
And they'll kill you, and they'll have like a casserole dish in one hand and just the beautiful smile on their face.
A Gideon New Testament in the other.
You won't even know. You mm-hmm. won't even know what hit you.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you. I like the music, by the way, today.
Mm-hmm.
It's very festive.
Very.
So anyway.
Love is in the air.
It is. So we're sending cockroaches to our exes. And now you've got a situation where apparently Hallmark could be tearing apart families even as we speak.
Mm-hmm. We just got some counsel by our great GM, and we weighed in on this. And the rule of thumb, if you do have a work spouse, you can't badmouth your actual spouse to your coworkers, because that's what I even have some personal stories of people oversharing about their personal lives. And then they're like, you know, he doesn't change the toilet paper roll. And the next thing you know, you start griping about that person. And then that's when it gets tricky. So you have to make some boundaries and some rules. You can't bring personal into professional. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, that's interesting, because we pretty much talk about everything on the national radio show.
Yeah.
So that makes it difficult.
Oh, by the way, I got my car. I had to update the people.
So, all right. So this was a big story yesterday.
Breaking
you,
news.
You finally bought a car.
I'm a car owner.
Where did you end up getting the
car?
They
shook my hand and everything. Handed me. It was very official. A Corolla?
Toyota Corolla.
Yes, sir. Principal Toyota.
In Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes.
Wow.
The best service. I mean, Todd, I am a 20 questions type of guy, and I asked 200 questions, and they answered every single one of them, and they broke it down for dummies.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hope you got bulletproof windows. It's Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you for the good people at Principal Toyota. I'm glad to hear this, because I know we have a lot of people that actually listen to us out there in the shop.
Yep.
And
Shout out to Chuck, Todd, Andy, all of those guys set me up.
All right. Good stuff, guys. Ben Dieter got wheels. All right. Got to take a quick break here, ladies and gentlemen. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we have a very special guest joining us, Congressman Michael Rooley from Ohio, a member of the Doge Caucus, as well as House Judiciary. Congressman, hope you're doing good today. Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Right back at you, Todd.
So Congressman, wow, Democrats are completely freaking out, going ballistic. And I'm curious to get your reaction. What is it like to see it, like, up close and personal?
I never thought I would be ever popping this much popcorn, but we are having a time of our life. The golden age is here. And you know what? They look like fools. Me and the other members on our side of the aisle, we go outside when they have their little protest, and we just literally laugh our you-know-what off. I mean, they look like complete fools. They really, really do. So you're going to tell me that now it's cool to protest for more government spending? Are you insane? The Joe Bag of Donuts guy that's making 40 grand a year wants us to cut the fat. Thank God I'm a butcher, because I'm going to keep cutting fat. That's Doge's on fire, man. We're going to take all this apart, strip it all the way down. Let's get rid of most of these federal employees, and let's start over again.
Yeah, I love this. Now, the rule was they had to be back in the office, what, on Monday, full-time, or they would lose their jobs. Are you guys getting any intel on how many people actually showed back up to work?
Well, we know that 75,000 took the buyout, and we think that we increased from up to almost 67 or 68%. Those are the numbers I heard. We are not at 100%, so I don't know how we're going to have to drop the final hammer. We see that they've taken everything that the President Trump has done, and they've taken everything to court, and you got some of these low-lying piece of garbage judges that are just rubber stamping everything that Biden and them would want. But we're not going to stop. We're going to find the right judges at the right place. I mean, who would ever think that the mayor of New York City and Tom Holden would be yanking them, these bad players out of New York City? And these are the worst people of them all. We're on the right side of history. Everyone knows that the opposition party has about 40% on their side, and we have about 40, 45% on our side. But here's the key, Todd. That 10 to 15% of middle America is 1,000% on our side on this.
Oh, no doubt about that. And I'm loving it. And I think that sooner or later, you know, these judges are going to realize that, and if it goes to the Supreme Court, it goes to the Supreme Court. But ultimately, President Trump is running the country, not some sort of a federal judge on the bench.
Well, I mean, God, who would ever think, you know, so I of course, we all love President Trump. And I mean, President Trump is, God sent him down here. God saved his life. I've had a friendship with James O'Keefe from Project Veritas for a while. But I mean, who would ever think Lee Zeldin would be the next big sexy thing taking over the country? I mean, the gold bars over the Titanic. We finally found the Biden crime family's slush fund. Todd, did you ever think we would find it? And here we go.
It's pretty remarkable. Can I share this with you, Congressman? I don't know if you've seen this. I know you're a busy guy. The White House just releasing their official Valentine's Day card. It's a beautiful pink card with little red hearts. And it's got the head of President Trump and the head of Border Czar Tom Holman. And this is the official White House Valentine's Day message to the nation. Roses are red, violets are blue. Come here illegally and we'll deport you.
I love it. You know, Tom Holden, he was our keynote speaker at the Columbiana County Lincoln Day Dinner. And this was like a year and a half, 2 years ago. And he literally said, it's going to take an act of God to get our president back in the office so we can save it. Because I had in judiciary, we had angel mom after angel mom. And I tell you what, I don't care what tough guy you are, Todd, when you hear these stories, there wasn't one guy on our side that our eyes were like crocodile tears.
Wow.
I mean, moms that, the one mom from Texas, she put her kid to bed and she woke up and they took her. And, you know, it's pure evil. I mean, it's literally the devil. But this is the thing. We believe in God. You know, we believe in God and country, and we know that the devil exists. And the devil gets inside these people and turns them pure evil. And the Democrats, a lot of them, want to protect them. They want to say sanctuary city, that there's nothing we see here. That and I just don't understand how you can side on the side of evil, Todd.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you, Congressman. And again, this is a long process. It is going to take, and it may take longer than 4 years to undo all of the damage that the left has done, that Rhino Republicans have done to this country. And I think that's why there's such an immediacy with everything that is happening right now.
Well, you want to hear something fun? And I hope I don't butcher his last name. Congressman Tim Burchard, I think is his last name. Great guy. He's a prayer breakfast with me. He's from Tennessee. He's a Freedom Caucus guy. He was playing around with Daryl Issus, and they were looking at the law. And do you know, after FDR, when they changed the law, it says you are not allowed to serve more than 2 consecutive terms. Okay, what happens if we do a bill and we say, here on the consecutive terms, but we have President Grover Cleveland and President Donald Trump, who served a term, took 4 years off, served their term. As far as I'm concerned, President Trump is still on one more term. So why don't we go 4 years now, four more years of Trump, and then put J.D. in there for 8 years, so we could just have 16 years of pure utopia.
Do you think we can actually do that? I mean, I hear what you're saying, and Tim Burchett's a good friend of mine. So you're thinking that there could be a way for Trump to run for another term after this?
We're going to try with all our heart.
I love this. I think, I mean, look, we need it. And I do see where this could be, again, it could be a long-term situation where J.D. Vance picks up the mantle after Trump. And you're right, we could have 16 years. Wow, could you imagine what this country would look like, Congressman?
Well, how about our grandkids? Our grandkids would have the country that our grandparents had. I mean, we'd be right back. You know, sometimes it just happens that way. You know, God brought us George Washington. He refused to be the king. And then we had Andrew Jackson. And then we had Abraham Lincoln. You know, and then we had Teddy Roosevelt, and I know Coolidge, a lot of people don't really understand how he was a pretty great guy. And then you had Ronald Reagan, and now you've got Trump. I think God just, every so many cycles and every so many generations, God comes back and gives us someone to deliver us. Because, I mean, we need delivered into the light, to the great republic that we were always supposed to be. Every experiment in time was horrible. All the kings and, you know, the dictators and the tyrants and stuff. America is the last stand for the human race.
Well said. Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Now, a lot of folks may not remember, but you are, I think, one of the first garage band congressmen we've got up on Capitol Hill. But is it true that you also do a little rockabilly, too?
I do. Well, I was in a punk rock band in Boston, and I'm a butcher. But, like, I'm a little bit older now, so I like rockabilly. I like bluegrass a lot. And even jazz if the moment's right, but I would say right now the flavor's a bit more bluegrass. I've been trying to work on my banjo licks. There's a couple guys in Congress with me. We're trying to get some playtime together. Maybe we could get a band together. Maybe we could go live on your show.
I love that. If you're into songwriting, if you could maybe write a song for our good friend Tim Burchett. And you got to get the phrase dadgummit in there. Just dadgummit, dadgummit. That would be awesome.
My friend. That sounds great.
All right. Congressman, appreciate you coming on the show today. And keep me updated. We're going to get you back on to talk music one of these days.
Thank you, my friend.
All right. Good man right there, folks. Congressman Michael Ruley. That's right. He is the first punk rocker in Congress, but he also plays, he's a pretty versatile guy now, picking up the banjo, doing a little bit of rockabilly. And we got to write a song for Tim Burchett. Dadgummit America. Dadgummit. All right, we got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. It is Open Line Friday, 901-260-5926. How do you feel about this idea of Trump running for another term? Now, the way the congressmen are looking at how this was all written in the Constitution, it specifically says 2 consecutive terms. So there could be some wiggle room there. We'll talk about that coming up next. I got to tell you, so many people are watching my Newsmax show now. It's just really remarkable, and I can't thank you enough. We are one of the top shows on Newsmax, thanks to you. As a matter of fact, tens of millions of Americans are turning off Fox News. They're turning off CNN, and they're watching Newsmax. Reuters says Newsmax is one of the top news brands in America, and you can find it on every major cable system. You can also find it on your TV or your smartphone, and you can download the Newsmax app. It is absolutely free of charge. You can start watching today. So find out why millions of Americans have made the switch. You can check us out again on cable, satellite TV, or download the Newsmax app right now. Remember, Newsmax is real news for real people. Come on, America.
I'm so in love with you.
You know what we need to do in the next hour? We need to have like a little dance music so that Americans, no matter what they're doing, because we commissioned a study, Ben Dieter, and by that I mean I think we took a poll in the office, but apparently listeners of the Todd Stearns radio program are some of the most passionate lovers in America.
Are they the most passionate dancers in America? Are they the most skilled dancers in America?
So the problem is we have an inordinate number of Baptists who listen to the program. My denomination, we're just not coordinated. Our dance skills are not, you know, on par with, you know, say, other denominations. Mm. But we're passionate lovers, the listeners of the Todd Stearns radio show. More likely to listen to Barry White music? We got to have some Barry White music, Dylan. So we got to get that in the mix.
I always forget him, but he's a great Valentine's Day
Todd,
songwriter.
It's the voice.
I just got an important notice because you also have one of the largest single audiences in America and in News Talk Radio.
We do?
Throw them a bone. Give them something. There's a lot of single people out there that listen to this show.
We could do like a Todd Mingle, not a Christian Mingle, but a Todd Stearns Mingle.
Where
speed we could
dating.
Connect. Yeah, we could speed date on the radio.
Yeah. No, I've seen, if you guys go to Rumble or if you go to Todd where he's streaming the show on X or on Facebook, I have seen, Todd, some of your listeners, they're putting feelers out there. One commenter says, oh, I kind of like that profile picture. The next thing I see the person with the nice profile picture, the pretty face, say, DM me. And who knows what happens after that.
So love is in the air.
You're basically Hello Dolly.
Love American style.
Yeah.
I love it. Let's go to the phone lines. Jerry the Liberal in Milwaukee. Jerry, are you looking for love?
No. That's okay.
Okay. Well, we can help you out there. There are some lovely conservative ladies out there.
No.
He's like hard pass.
Yeah.
All right, Jerry, what's going on? What's on your mind?
I mean, I can't believe I have to point this out. The Constitution doesn't allow bans anyone from being elected more than twice. So a congressman saying that Trump could be elected again, I just have to point this out because people are going to repeat this. Like, this could happen. It cannot happen. The 22nd Amendment is clear. You know, a person can be elected to the office of the president more than twice. It says that just point blank. So,
but if they could change the rule, would you support President Trump being able to run for a third term?
No, there's no way I would support Donald Trump being elected to another term. But then again, think about this: if they do that, would you support Barack Obama being able to run?
Well, look, I don't think, personally, personally, I think two terms is enough, and I think it would set a bad precedent, because we don't want to go back to what FDR did to this country, which was nearly destroy it. So I do not agree that we need to have a three-term president. So I would actually be opposed to that.
Okay. Well, I might too, but I would like to see Obama against Trump and see if you guys
really? I think Trump would clean his clock.
I think Obama would win in a landslide, but you know.
Jerry, hitting the wine a little early today, are we?
I think Trump actually wants to go against Obama, but he's afraid a little bit. So I think that's who Trump really wants to really beat, but you know, I think he would be fearful.
All right, Jerry, we'll leave it there. Good hearing from you, though. I think, you know what, I think a good conservative woman could get Jerry set in the right direction.
Do you support conservatives and liberals dating, Todd? Do you think it can work?
No.
No?
It's a mixed marriage. I don't think it can work.
Not equally yoked.
No. Yeah. Unequally.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I just don't.
I've known some of my friends who will date, like, guys that will date a liberal girl, because statistically, girls, millennials, Gen Zers, tend to be more liberal, progressive, than their male counterparts. And the group think they're, because the majority of them are liberal, I will get married to them, I will date them, and they will be persuaded onto my side of the aisle.
You know, I was noticing, speaking of that, I was noticing a trend on social media where you have all these guys now that are putting out their daily life. Like, that's their videos on the Instagram. Mm-hmm. And it's like sun up to sundown, and how they're living a very regimented life in their early 20s, and how they're forsaking, you know, drinking and alcohol and the party scene. And they're really embracing this sort of Trumpian style version of manhood, you know, where they're really turning their back on the party social culture of college. It's mm-hmm. really, I thought it was just a couple of folks, but this is, seems to be some sort of a movement afoot.
Yeah. It's all the Aaron Rodgers people, you know, like the football player and the RFK Jr. people.
Harrison Butker, I guess, would
all
be
those people. Yeah.
Where,
and they found themselves in some of these leaders or football players or mainstream mm-hmm. media culture figures.
I mean, you look at what was it early today, Pete Hegseth, the defense secretary, he's actually out on a long run with a bunch of the Warriors. And, you know, there's this ferocity. I didn't see a single woman in the pictures at all. It was just all
Rachel
men.
Levine wasn't there. Yeah.
He can't run in heels. I'm just saying. But anyway, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. It's but there is something going on in this country, and I like it. And we're also seeing it happen in places like Poland, for example. And I love where J.D. Vance was over there saying, you know, even all of these moocher countries in NATO that are not paying their fair share, that Poland, of all the countries, is actually out there stepping up and going above and beyond in our relationship. And when you look at what's happening in Poland, it's a great example of what could be happening here, and I love it. All right, we got to take a quick break here, folks. It's Open Line Friday, 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Paul Shankland, who is the parody czar emeritus of the Rush Limbaugh Show. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be a great conversation, and you're going to want to stick around for that. All right, again, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Happy Valentine's Day to you, America. A lot happening out there. And I know we have a lot of flower delivery truck drivers that are listening to us as well today. It's sort of like the Super Bowl Sunday for you guys. And I hope you have already purchased that special something for your sweet Valentine. You know, interesting story here. Out of UC Berkeley, someone shared this on the social media and sent it to me. UC Berkeley, you know, we're talking about cutting all this wasteful spending. Are you ready for this? University of California, Berkeley, there is one administrator for every four undergraduates. 7,300 administrators employed during the 2022-23 school year, and many of the administrators focused on supporting nearly 30 different DEI programs. So, again, we talk about a lot about cutting out the waste. Look, the reality is that the American taxpayers were funding the salaries of unemployable people. These people cannot function in the real world. So they were creating these fake phony jobs here in the DEI world. And DEI, ladies and gentlemen, leads to DEAD. That's what that leads to. So look, today, Open Line Friday, whatever you want to talk about, we're going to talk about today. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up in just a few moments, we're going to talk to our good buddy, Paul Shanklin. He's going to be in studio, the parody czar emeritus of the Rush Limbaugh Show. Let's say hello to the lovely Miss Janice in New Orleans. Miss Janice, it's been a while. Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Same to you. Same to you, Todd. Yeah, I just wanted to call and say hello. I've been listening to your podcast a lot, and I pick you up every day on Newsmax, and I watch you on there, and I really, really enjoy that. But I wanted to call to wish you Happy Valentine's Day and let you know that I haven't forgotten about you because, you know, I hadn't called in a while. But I'm still keeping up with you. And what I don't understand, though, what I really don't understand for the life of me, I mean, you know, when people pass away, Social Security, for one thing, is supposed to send the information, send the death certificate to, you know, the people, the funeral home or whoever it is supposed to send the death certificate to Social Security. So I don't understand how people that are like 150 or would be, you know, people that would be, if they were alive, which they're not, 150 years old are getting Social Security. I'm asking myself, how are they getting it? What's happening? What bank accounts could it be going
into?
It's
a great question.
Who's receiving it? Where is it actually going?
So, Ms. Janice, for the folks who weren't listening yesterday, we shared some new intel that there are a number of people who are 150 years old, and they are currently receiving Social Security checks. So the reality of it is that somebody is clearly grifting, and there's some fraud involved here. But it's a great point, Miss Janice, because I think if the average law-abiding citizen was caught doing something like this, they'd already be in jail.
And they should be. Mm-hmm. And they need to investigate this closely, find out where this is really going, and get down to it, because it seems insane to me.
Miss Janice, you're 1,000% correct. By the way, may I ask you a question, Miss Janice? You're there in New Orleans. You guys are gearing up. I think Mardi Gras is a little late this year, isn't it? It's in, what, the March 4th?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
So hopefully the weather will be good for people. I don't participate myself. But, you know, and one thing that does have me concerned, though, and I'm going to say this to anyone that's thinking of coming to it. I mean, myself, I wouldn't go. It is dangerous. It can be dangerous. I mean, you know, hopefully it'll be all right. I hope nothing will happen. But with the way our world is in this moment, it can be bad. It really can. You have the gangs out on the street shooting at one another, and sometimes cars, some crazy person, a drunk person, will ride through. What had happened one year? They had some people waiting for Endymion, and a car ran through some people. I mean, it's just our world today is such that I don't really feel that it is a good idea to go out on the public streets like that. Super Bowl Sunday, even with all the protection they had in the French Quarter, there was a man on Decatur Street, and a guy came up to him and threatened to stab his dog.
Oh, geez, hello.
Yes, and the man had a ukulele, and he hit the guy with a ukulele, and it just turned into a mess, and they did. I think they got the guy with the knife. But why would you ever walk up to someone and threaten to stab their dog? It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Our world is not safe. It truly is not. And I don't advise people to go. Now, Jazz Fest is different because that's within the fairgrounds. But insofar as going out on Bourbon Street and downtown on Canal Street and around downtown for events, I don't advise it. I really don't.
Well, Miss Janice, it is good hearing from you, and I hear what you're saying. And, you know, people need to be, I don't think we can all just, you know, lock ourselves in our houses, but you've got to be smart. and you've got to pay attention. You got to have your head on a swivel. And that's unfortunately, to your point, you know, we do live in a very dangerous world. Now, Miss Janice, I still hope that you're going to be able to get a slice of that delicious king cake.
Yeah, I might. I thought about doing that.
Hey, you got to get the, be careful with the baby. You know, Miss Janice, years ago, we had a college friend, and he didn't realize that there was a baby. And anyway, a long story short, he ended up giving birth unintentionally.
Yeah, my mother told me that one time. I was sitting at the kitchen table eating the cake, and she reminded me because I had forgotten. I said, oh, my God, yes. Oh, yeah, I got to watch out for that thing in the cake, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I know. People need to remember that because it's easy to forget.
Yes, you don't want to do that. All right. Miss Janice, it is good hearing your voice. You bring a smile to our faces here on the show. And God bless you. And I hope you have a great, great day. Thank you for that. Wow. So the guy brought a ukulele to a knife fight. Who would have thought? Happy Valentine's Day, Miss. Yeah, they bake a baby and the cake and the king cake. And if you get the slice with the baby in it, you have to bring the next king cake. And they do this all the way to Mardi Gras. And the king cakes are really good, but they got to be made in New Orleans. There's a rule there. Let's go to Drew in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM, our flagship station. Hi, Drew. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. Yeah, long time listener, first time caller. So excited about that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, thank you. I just a couple of quick points here. On the topic of the education, you know, grade schools and colleges. So, and I've gathered some of this stuff over the last few years of, you know, listening to various podcasts and then from those sources going and then doing my own research from what I'm hearing. And it's so much more deeply entrenched than what we realize. Like Joe Rogan's had on some people and they've really opened up a lot of doors there for the stuff that's going on in some of these liberal colleges, and some of them are even state schools, so that's pretty concerning. But there is outright advocation for not just lesbian, gay, transgender. No, it's far more than that. There is outright advocation for pedophilia and the legalization of such in various past and current college professors in this country. That is not a lie. That is true. All you have to do is just do some searching on a few names out there. There's a guy named James Lindsay. He went on Joe Rogan's podcast a while back, and he shed a bunch of light on this subject. You can just Google him. And
but, Drew, you know, it's research. Interesting, though, and again, if it's happening in the church, that should be exposed, and those people should be prosecuted. And, again, I believe in public execution for people who harm kids. If it's happening in the Boy Scouts or Scouting, you got to do the same thing. But they turn a blind eye, it seems, to what's happening in those classrooms where a lot of these kids are being targeted. And that is just unacceptable. And I still, my concern here is, to your point, that there is this normalization that happens in the education system. And part of that is actually renaming it. I believe they're called minor attracted persons now. That's what they're wanting people to call the pedophiles.
Yeah, that's sort of softening it, making it a little bit more acceptable. Yeah, right. So that's terrible, and we need to. I mean, anyway, there's a lot of literature out there that is really starting to expose some of that. But of course, you're not going to see it at your local Barnes and Noble. It's not going to be. They don't want that to be known. You know. The other quick point, and then I'll hop off and let other people call. In terms of the grade school public education, a lot of corruption that's not being talked about as much as it should be is the teachers' unions. The National Teachers Union, the NEA and the NFT, the top heads of those organizations, they're not educators, they're activists. They're not about, they don't care about increasing the literacy skills of our youth and the mathematical skills of our youth. No, they care about creating little activists in the classrooms. That's all you have to do is go on YouTube and you can search Randy Weingarten and Becky Pringle and look at all their little speeches and all their conferences, and 90% of it is nothing but political activism for LGBTQ, BLM, et cetera, et cetera. That's Drew, all they're pushing.
Drew, let me ask you, how old are you, Drew?
Early 30s, 32.
Okay, so you're a young guy. I was in high school and middle school back in the 80s, and I just remember this like it was yesterday. I don't know if my school teachers were Republican or Democrat, gay, straight, because they didn't talk about any of that in the classroom. That there wasn't a place for that. They were too busy trying to teach us, you know, algebra. We had typing classes back in the day. We had to take, you know, all of that stuff, computer science. But we had none of the stuff that was going on, this social activism. It just did not exist back in the 80s when I was in school.
Even when I was, I went to school in the late 90s and early 2000s, and it was very much still all of these political things were private. It was kept underground, so to speak. I hate that our kids now they're not getting that. You know, they're getting all this other stuff that's not necessary at all. It's just,
yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, Randy Weingarten and people, she is making $500,000 a year on average. That's about eight times the salary of the average public school teacher.
It sure is.
So,
Drew, we're going to have to leave it there. But look, it's a great call, and give us a holler back. And thank you for listening to KWAM.
Thank you, sir. Will do. Have a good day.
All right. There you go. The guy makes a lot of sense, ladies and gentlemen. Well done. Okay, let's try to work in another call before we have to go to break here. Let's go to Gary in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hi, Gary. What's on your mind?
Hey, thank you very much. I'll be really quick. No problems. Before your last break, you mentioned about conservative and then liberal spouses switching and how that might work out in a marriage or relationship here in Valentine's. And I highly suggest that you keep it conservative and try not to have either spouse or whoever you're with be the opposite, unless you have great legal representation, a large retainer, and plenty of free time on your hand. Now, my wife and I, for almost 39 years, conservative. We're both conservative, and that's the way it works. She's the pit bull of the relationship, and I'm the beagle. And if there's anybody that we meet up with, she wants to work on them a little bit. If they're too liberal, she's the one that doesn't.
Gary, I love that advice. Conservative, and at least I would say the conservatives, you got a better chance of having kids, because at least one of the liberals, they may not be what you think. I'm just telling you. By and large, the libs don't know their pronouns.
My cardiologist approves of that relationship that way also, so it helps with any testing. But on a really quick note, Elon Musk mentioned Samantha Powers at USAID.
Yeah.
Blew right by everybody that he mentioned that she came in with $3 million net worth, and she beat Nancy Pelosi. She left 3 years later with $30 million. And he had it right during one of his speeches, but he said it so quick and went by it. And he said, there's no way that Donald Trump said, we do definitely have to take a look at some of the people that have benefited to this amount of money.
I want to know where every single penny of that money came from, Gary, every single penny. Gary, got to run. Thank you for that. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes. It's not Barry White, but I still like it. You know, we have to let this play, Dylan, until like the moment in the song, because it's like the moment.
Are we allowed to do that?
I think we have to.
Oh, yeah.
We're already in. I mean, it is Valentine's Day, right?
Yeah.
Ben Dieter, are you familiar with this song?
I've heard it. I've done karaoke to this song.
Oh, you have?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, geez. I want to see that. a while it goes on, doesn't it?
It's a long time until we get to that.
When do we get to, do we get to it after this verse?
Well, we have to take this into
because
the next break.
The entire city of Gainesville is just bracing themselves, maybe Morehead City too, for this one moment of the song. I think this is it. Coming up right now.
We'll see. Can't take my eyes
off you. This is the dot, 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 dot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're dancing at WTUN right now. Here we go, America. Belt it out. Scare a liberal. And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So very happy to have you with us.
Thank God. Get that out. The beat finally dropped.
Wow.
I was on suspense for like 2 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. I know we've got Connor in Boston and Richard in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Guys, we're gonna hang tight here because we do want to throw out a trivia question as well. Because it's, you know, it's Valentine's Day, right? So here is the first question. This is a great question. According to most wedding music lists, can you tell me the love song that is most frequently played at weddings? What is the top song? Is it Marry You by Bruno Mars? Is it All of Me by John Legend? Or is it Can't Help Falling in Love by Elvis Presley? The number one most requested wedding music list. Don't say. Give us a call if you know the answer. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. The number one most requested wedding music song. 901-260-5926 if you know the answer. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
Nobody but you and me. We've got it together, baby.
Come on, America. Make those conservative babies. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You got to have a little bit of Barry White and some baby-making music. That's what we do here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Wow. The phones lit up here, and we do have a trivia question out. And let's go to Chuck, who's listening to us in Memphis, Tennessee. All right, Chuck, we want to know the top wedding song that's requested at weddings. What's the answer, Chuck?
Okay, it's got to be All of Me by John Legend.
Chuck, we love that you listen to the show, but I'm ashamed of you calling with that answer from Memphis, Tennessee, Chuck. And I'm going to explain why in just a moment.
I know it's probably Elvis.
Stop, Chuck. Let's go to Jim in Georgia. All right, Jim, what's the answer? The number one.
Elvis Presley, you're in Memphis. It's got to be.
Can't help falling in love with you. Yeah, that's right. That's right, Jim. How did Chuck not get that, being from Memphis, Tennessee? I am stunned.
I don't know. That's pretty easy.
Yeah, it is, and it's a great song, by the way. Can't Help Falling in Love, the number one most requested wedding song in America. Jim, hang tight. We're going to send you a signed copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And we thank you for playing along today, so thank you for that. All right, I do want to put out another trivia question before we go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line for a very special guest. We were talking about the Love Boat yesterday, and we had some great Love Boat trivia. I've got another one. There was a congressman, a United States congressman, who once starred on the Love Boat. Can you tell me the name of the character that the congressman played on the Love Boat? If you know the answer, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. All right, I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from Westchester County, New York. I understand we have Bill on the line. Bill, welcome to the show.
Yes, I'd like to throw out a lifeline. Maybe is this character, did they change genders between the show and now?
No. And wait a second. Is your middle name Jefferson by any chance? William Jefferson?
Well, yes, it is. I'm glad I couldn't believe I was calling into a conservative radio show, and I was excited when you said baby making music. I just hit the phone line, and then there was a question
Did you call Monica? Is that what you did?
Actually, this is kind of like, for me, it's kind of like, I'm like Santa Claus on Valentine's. I got a lot of houses to visit, a lot of people to talk to, and there's no way to get it all done in one night.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are honored here on the Todd Stearns radio program on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line to have President Clinton joining us today on Valentine's Day. I'm wondering, what about Hillary? What do you guys do for?
I got her a 6-pack of Chardonnay and some a couple of boxes of Kleenex, and I turned it to Lifetime and left the house.
Is that's how you do it? That's how you cope?
Well, it's actually pretty much every weekend, but there's no real reason to hang around. I mean, life's too short. I'm getting kind of old, and gray and growing a beard. And I tell you, on Valentine's Day, I'm as busy as I can be.
Well, We saw the reports. I mean, I know that you like to spend a lot of time on an island. Is that true? A little private plane and jet and takes you off to an island.
At times, yes. And I had no idea any of that was going on. I mean, I have
none whatsoever.
I didn't inhale either, by the way. If I go back to that, I just want to start with that. But I did not inhale, and I did not have my eyes open on Jeffrey Epstein's island.
Not one bit, did you, Mr. President?
Well, I was in the dark, actually, so I didn't, I had no idea. I had no idea anybody was underage or it was more than one person or anything. The lights were off. How would I know? And I had my eyes closed in the dark. So I saw nothing.
So we saw you, Mr. President, if I could bring this up. I know this is a sensitive subject, sir, but during the funeral of Jimmy Carter, you were there, and we couldn't help but notice, but you were looking when Melania Trump, you seemed like you couldn't take your eyes off of the First Lady, sir.
They thought I was having some heart trouble. But I tell you, I mean, she just leaves me breathless. And I said that to somebody and said, we got to get him to the doctor. And I was like, no, I don't mean, I'm fine. I'm just, wow.
But Hillary gave you the look.
I wish I had the same mail order company to find a bride that he had. Because I would have surely, I see those things online, date somebody from Estonia.
Wow.
But that's, it's too late for that.
Mr. President, I don't want to impose, but, we're right in the middle of like a trivia contest, and I was wondering would you mind if we just did a trivia thing here? Is that okay? We want
sure.
to win somebody a prize.
Well, absolutely.
All right. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Let's say hello to Katrina in Germantown, Tennessee, listening to us on KWM. Katrina, welcome. You're on the air with yours truly, Todd Stearns, and President Bill Clinton.
Hi, Katrina.
Hey, nice to hear you.
Oh, it's great to hear you. You have a wonderful voice.
Careful now, Mr. President. Careful now. God. All right, Katrina, it's okay. I've got you. we're with you. So look, we were talking about a congressman who actually starred as one of the cast members on the Great Love Boat. Did you watch the Love Boat as a child, Katrina?
Yeah, on and off, I did. Mm-hmm.
All right, Mr. President, what about you?
Oh yeah, I like that gal with that short hair. I mean, she was
Julie.
She was something.
Yeah. All right, Katrina, let's not get the president distracted here. So the guy's name, Congressman Fred Gandy, but who did he play on the Love Boat?
Okay, I think he was called Gopher.
Love
Oh, yeah, I love that song.
Isn't it a great song? Oh, you got it. Yeah, Mr. President, I've heard you've got a great singing voice. I know you played the saxophone.
Yes, at times.
Hey, Katrina. Yeah, you're a winner, but do you know the song, Katrina?
Yeah.
You mean that's playing right now?
That's playing right now, yeah. All right, because Katrina, you're going to win a prize here, but we're all going to sing together here at the big chorus. Here we go.
The Love Boat soon will be making another.
Belt it out, Mr. President.
All right. Promises something. This is.
Come on, Katrina. Make Germantown proud. Your mind's on a new romance. Okay, thank you, Della. That's it. Hey, Katrina. You okay there, Katrina?
I bet you know the worst of Green Acres, too, don't you?
Hey, now, don't get me started. And Petticoat Junction. Oh, Mr. President, stay away.
Yeah. Petticoat Junction. I tell you, when I was a kid, I thought that was the tops.
I'm concerned. Katrina, are you okay?
Unless it was Ellie Mae on Beverly Hillbillies.
I actually have some CDs from his parodies back in the Rush days.
I'm sorry, who are we talking about? You're talking about Paul Shanklin. Yeah, he's going to be on in just a few moments.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So we got President Bill Clinton with us right now.
Yes.
So,
okay.
Katrina, my fellow Americans.
Katrina, thank you. Hang
tight. This is a very special day.
We're going to get Katrina her gift. And Mr. President, I guess we do have to leave it there, but we certainly appreciate you coming on today.
Did Katrina leave a number?
No, we can't. We're not going to do that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because we've got Hillary calling in on the hotline. That could be
I
got to
go.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, William Jefferson Clinton, our great president, and now stepping into the studio, the great Paul Shanklin. Wow, it's an all-star day here on the show.
Actually, I'm Donald Trump right now, and I just want to let you know that, I love Elon so much that I've adopted him. I've given him the name Ilanka, which has my love for Elon and my love of Tonka toys. Coming together, Ilanka.
It's those Eastern Europeans. Shanklin, how the heck are you doing?
I'm great. I mean, back when Trump was elected the first time, and usually the first week after the inauguration is like depression week when presidents start telling you, well, I was going to do that, but I'm going to do this first, and we'll get to that. And they just drop all whatever the conservative lines were, they just kind of leave that along the side of the road and talk about, let's all get together and kumbaya, and I'm going to have somebody over for movie night. And Trump, the first time, I was saying, this is, it's going to be, we're going to be let down. And the first time around, I mean, it was great. This is greater than that. And I wish Rush was here to see all this, because this is a culmination of my lifetime to just have somebody who actually is doing the things we needed done and doing it in 17 days now.
It's remarkable how fast it's happening.
Yes. It's just, and it's on all fronts. And J.D. Vance is with it. Everybody in the administration's with it. And he knows what he's doing because what didn't work last time, so it's blowing the doors off.
I think everybody's got their marching orders. So it's not, you're not going to have individual stars here. You're going to have people that are carrying out Trump's orders.
And he knows who to get this time. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very different. He got some things done last time, but this time there's no wheels spinning. It's all traction.
You mentioned Rush, and we're just honored to be in this time slot. And so many people
said, I'll let you in.
Thanks, L. Rush.
You wouldn't be here unless I let you in. Go ahead.
Thank you, Rush.
Talk all you want.
It's
your 3 hours.
Sweet mercy. You go back to the 1980s, and without Rush, I don't think we would have had, the Reagan Revolution. No. I don't think we would have had Donald Trump back in 2016.
No. And of course, when the early days of Rush, there was no social media. It was talk radio. And he was a lone voice in the wilderness. There's been a lot more have come along over time. But he created the genre, and as it is today. And people say, oh, it's not going to last, or nobody's going to listen to that. And it was just a flood of people going, finally, somebody's telling me what's going on, number one, and what's really going on, number two, and clarifying the news and giving me more information than I had before. And it's now it's a raging river with X and talk radio. They can't hide, and it's just amazing.
It's fun.
This is Christmas for, like, I don't know, 28 years.
Christmas every
all
day.
All at one time.
Let's go to the phone lines here. Hendersonville, North Carolina, Mary Lou. Mary Lou, you're on the air with me and Paul Shanklin.
Well, listen, I just want to tell you, you've made my day with that Bill Clinton skit and the way you two were talking. I was just laughing. I couldn't laugh anymore. You just really made my day. I love you guys.
Well, you know, I was just trying to make him. I was just trying to make him snort the milk out of his nose, but or Diet Coke or something.
Oh my gosh, it was so wonderful!
Thank
so
you.
Happy. I just made my day. And you guys did something like this around Christmas, and I called in and I won a prize. And I just want to tell you, Scott.
She wants another prize.
Yeah, I want another one. Send me something. But I just love that little book you sent me, that Daily Biscuit. I am enjoying that so much.
Well, Mary Lou, thank you for that. And we're going to be making our way back to Hendersonville soon. We've got a brand new devotion book coming out in July, and we'll be telling you more about that
in
the coming
days. How to Eat Biscuits with Molasses.
There you go.
Yeah, extra molasses.
No, it's a book for Jewish Americans, a devotion book, our Daily Bagel, Devotions with a Schmear. All right, Mary Lou, thank you for those kind words, and thank you for calling in. How do you do this? How do you come up with the voices?
Well, it's from my father's side of the family, and I didn't know my father did it. He died when I was quite young. So one day I was talking and around my grandmother. She says, "You sound just like your daddy." And I thought, "Well, I'm 12 years old. How could I sound like my daddy?" He says, "Oh, he was always mocking people, and my uncles do it. My brothers did it, and I'm the only one who's actually gotten paid for it. But my brother David has called the house before and kept Angie on the phone for 30 minutes thinking he was an old deranged man." And she's so nice, she couldn't hang up on him. So,
Would he tell you, "Hey, I want a skit about X, Y, or Z," or you'd call him up and say, "Hey, Rush, you know, how did you guys get connected?"
Well, it was Johnny Donovan who I got connected with first, and I had done a little bit of radio here in Memphis. I sent some things up, and because that was a thing, you send stuff up to the guy, and you'll demo tape and everything with an explanation of who I am and what I do. And of course, I followed up and called, and he said,
"Nope, didn't get it. Send me another one."
So I got it all together again, sent it all up to Johnny Donovan again, and there is a Johnny Donovan,
"Nope, didn't get it. Send me another one."
So I sent him a third one and called him, and he said,
"Yeah, we got it. It was great. We'll be in touch."
And I thought, well, they don't like it. My friend Ramirez says,
"They didn't listen to it. Did you say anything? I mean, did you do a voice or something?"
And I said, "No, I just, he was in a hurry. He's from New York, and it just sounded like he wanted to get off the phone." And he said, "Call him back. Just do something. Make him listen to you." So I called him back and said, "Johnny, this is Bill Clinton, and I don't know where Rush and I have fallen out, but we are not as close as we once were. Could you put us back together?" And he said,
"Who is this? That was great."
I said, "This is Paul Shanklin."
He said, "Send me a tape."
And I said, "I have sent you three tapes." As Ross Perot. So, that's how it all started. And then as far as working with Rush, I mean, they just let me come up with what I came up with. Sometimes he'd have ideas and he'd say, you know, do something like this, or sometimes specific ideas. Or he'd have want to punk people. You know, we'd want to have something that sounded straight and like it really was from the president or something. But basically it's just popping up in my head, and you had to go into character, and you kind of come up with it as I write in character. And I don't know how to explain it other than it's genetic, and I hope you don't get it.
It is so it is so great. And again, Paul Shanklin joining us here on the program. I love it when I get a text message from you in the middle of the show, and it's just so fun. You never know what's going to happen.
What if you get 20? Did you see my text?
I saw
are
your
you
text.
Paying attention?
I'm paying attention.
Todd, pay attention.
All right, we got.
Sometimes it's important. Sometimes I'm just messing around, but sometimes it's important.
I understand. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
It actually fit. Yeah.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern Show, and
believe it or not, tell that on the air. Don't tell that. On the air.
And this is the end of the show. We are flat out of time.
That's it,
Paul Shanklin. We're going to get you back for the full hour.
Oh,
we're going to bring you back on if that's okay.
Okay.
All right. See if Bill can hang out, or maybe even Jimmy Carter. You know, from the Pearly Gates.
Well, I would like to. Have to be a lot more. You know, angelic reverb. We don't have a lot down here.
We'll work on that.
We don't have a lot down here where I'm at.
Paul Shanklin, everybody. Folks, it's been a wild day. 5 o'clock Eastern, Newsmax. Be sure to watch the show. And, folks, whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.